are the 1, 2, 3
Sore Losers!
What up, everybody? I am Lunchbox. I know the most about sports, so I'll give you the sports facts, my sports opinions, because I'm pretty much a sports genius.
Hey, and I'm Eddie, and I know the least about the sports because I'm your sports fan. I'm your average sports watcher. I just don't know the who's who's. Or the what's what's.
What up? I'm Ram from the north on the alpha male. I have an entourage when I go to the bar. And guys, when I do go to bars, I shotgun. And if you shotgun as well, hashtag it. Sore Losers Shotgun. People have been doing it. We've been retweeting.
It's been catching on. And that is amazing that people are starting to do it. And they're showing us, hey, look, this is how you shotgun a beer, not a White Claw.
I mean, even my wife thought it was funny. She was watching all of them. And she was like, this girl that gardens, waters her plants.
That was hilarious. She's like, hi,
LOL.
Hi, I'm Kayla from the north. I'm from Indiana or something like that. And you can find me out in the yard on a Friday night.
Watering
I'm not gardening. I'm shotgunning a beer. And apparently that was her first time ever shotgunning a beer.
She did a good job.
Yeah.
Better than Ray.
Exactly. So let's play the game. Would you rather?
Game on!
Would you rather butcher your own meat?
Oh, God.
Or never eat meat again?
I'll butcher my own meat. I don't care. I mean, guys, so from junior high on to when I left my house, like, I don't know, age 20 or something, like, my dad owned a ranch. Guys, we raised cattle, pigs, exotic animals. We would brand them. We would vaccinate them. Sometimes we would slaughter them. Like, we did it all.
You did the slaughtering?
I didn't do it, but this guy would come and do it, and we would help him.
That's a lot different.
No, I would help, and I would hold a hoof or something. I would hold something to help him slaughter it. And it wasn't the coolest thing in the world, but we weren't bitching when we were eating the meat. We're like, this is pretty good.
Hard B.
Okay. I mean, he gets off a weekend bender. He's like, yeah,
you know what I'm saying?
Hey,
I wouldn't mind slaughtering my meat. I just can't see myself going the rest of my life without eating a burger or a steak.
I'm going to have to go with Eddie on that one. I'll butcher the meat. I've done pheasants before and fish, so I have an idea of how to do it. I got to touch on the meat thing. Guys, I love meat. When we go to a Mexican place, me and my chick, I get the chicken. When I go to a burger place, I love getting a burger. My chick will sometimes get a salad. I love meat. Mm-hmm. I could never,
yeah, you do.
Never just eat what? Lettuce and salad.
So you really like it when you put that meat in your mouth.
How much do you like the meat?
I love the meat.
Do you chew the meat? Do you
take it all in at once? Like, give me all the meat.
No, but I really, really want to take it slowly and enjoy the meat. And it was just a thing yesterday with it. We were going to a Mexican place, and the guy said, hey, do you want any meat on it? And I said, yes, on my tapas, I want the chorizo. I want the chicken. I love
meat. You like the
meat.
Mexican meat?
Yes.
So do you like the meat to touch your lips or just straight onto your tongue or straight to your teeth? How do you do it? You let it sit on your tongue?
You sound pretty careful with the meat.
No, I love meat. Yeah. Anytime I'm going out, what meat do you have? That's the meat. That's my food of choice.
But so you don't discriminate against the meat. You'll take any meat.
I'll take any meat.
Wait, but you bite down hard on the meat?
I'll bite on the meat.
Oh.
All right.
Okay. What about you, Lunchbox?
Listen, I'll never eat meat again. I'm not going to go out and butcher the animals.
Yeah, you're a city slicker. You were born and raised in the city, man. I get it.
I was raised in Austin, Texas. Yep, I never had to fend for myself where I had to go out and hunt and gather my food.
Yes, coach. It's a major city.
It's a lot of work.
City slicker.
It's a lot of work to go out and butcher your own meat. I understand that it can be done, but the time and effort it's going to take, I'll just eat a salad and be good with my life. Yeah. Sorry.
You're just a PAB. It's all good.
Okay, you never butchered your own meat, so, I mean, we're the same.
I spent, like, almost 2 minutes
telling
you that
I said, did you do it? And you said, no, some guy came and did it.
I didn't kill the animal.
That's what I'm
saying. I would help him, like, cut the meat and sort it out. Like, all right, there's a ribeye. All right, cool, let me saw that up.
Right, but you were there when it was already dead.
No, I was there in the killing. I just didn't kill it.
So you got blood on your hands.
I've seen it, man.
You got blood on your face.
On my pants.
See, okay. But
you guys made some decent money, though, doing that. Exotic animal butchering?
Well, we would auction to the slaughter most of the time, but once in a while, my dad would be like, let's just keep one for us, and let's call, his name was Lalo. Call Lalo over, and he'll slaughter it.
Dude, I love your dad.
And so Lalo would come, man. We'd have fresh beef. We would have goats all the time. We'd have pigs. We had a whole pig farm area, and those pigs are disgusting, but man, when we would eat the bacon or just a ham or a pork butt, God, they were delicious.
Man. And that's how we play
Would You Rather!
First of all, congratulations to Texas Tech, the Red Raiders playing for the national championship tonight. But I want to talk to all these people in Lubbock, Texas, all you University of Texas Tech.
Lubbock, Texas?
It's Texas Tech University.
Whatever, coach. Students.
What, the University of Texas Technical.
What the hell is wrong with you guys? You guys win the game to go. You didn't win the national championship.
They party like they did.
Exactly. You won the game to play for the national championship tonight. Tonight is when, if you win, you celebrate like crazy. I understand you have never been there before. You've never been to the national.
History, man.
But you went out and you flipped four vehicles.
Oh, whose cars were they, by the way?
Exactly. Those are your fellow students.
Like, was it you? Was it theirs, though? Like, is it cool if us three were like, whoa, we freaking won. Lunchbox, Ray, flip my car over. I'm cool with it.
That's an interesting angle.
Now, that is okay with it.
It will still get you in trouble. The law doesn't care whose car it is. You don't flip a car over in the middle of the road.
I do not think that the owner of the vehicle was present in the car flipping.
Okay.
And here they are jumping on top. They flip the car over. Then they got Lil Nas X playing, and they are jumping up and down on the car. Now listen, it looks fun, but you are all idiots. You're all morons, because I understand celebrating and being excited. But every single one of you that is jumping up and down on that car, you're going to be arrested.
No. How many jumped on?
Like 15.
And they all got arrested?
They're going to, because guess what? Social media, there's videos everywhere. They're going to be able to identify every single person in the video.
So you tell me right now, they're just like, just enjoying life, and then at some point in the near future...
They're going to get charged with vandalism. Yeah. Remember when you were jumping on that car and cars causing all that damage? We're going to here to arrest you for that.
Really?
Absolutely. There's one guy sticking his hand inside the vehicle. Don't know if he took anything, but what are you doing? I understand, like, celebrating, and I love it, but flipping people's... These are your fellow classmates. They're probably the bartender serving you the drink at the game.
Right.
And parked for work, and he comes out, and his car or her car is demolished.
Yeah.
You didn't even win the national title.
Oh, my gosh. Imagine the bartender, Arnie, comes out to his car after the bar shift.
He's had a rough first shift, like rough, like busy, slamming.
But he probably made a
drinks.
Lot of money. Lot of money. He's going to go home and get... He's going to stop at IHOP on the way home.
Okay.
Can't even get to IHOP because he doesn't have a car anymore. Now he's got to call the insurance, and his car is going to be totaled. Oh, poor dude. So what went for the best night ever turns into the worst night ever.
But I don't understand the rioting thing. Like, what is that? Like,
it looked like
can't you just, like, cheer some beers and get pumped and, like...
So the Auburn people thought they won?
Oh, that was hilarious, too.
Did
That's
they
another
flip cars, too?
No, but they didn't. They have an area where they just do the teeping, which is fine.
Yes. Tumor's Corner. They toilet paper the trees. Usually they only do it for football, but now that they're good at basketball, I guess they do it, too.
Okay.
And so they all went running there. Because they didn't realize that the ref had called a foul, and they went running to the corner, and they are toilet papering and chanting, SEC, SEC, SEC. And then someone had to tell them, hey guys, we ended up losing the game. They did not realize they lost the game. It was unbelievable. Like, they celebrate. Like, I want to talk about the games, but these celebrations are crazy. There was a guy in Lubbock. He's riding down the street on one of those Lime scooters. It was on fire, and he was still riding it. Like, what?
Did he set it on fire?
Yes.
Yeah, people are out of their mind. Like, what's happening?
Well, a lot of places do this when you win, but I'm just like, why? Why do you set your own stuff on fire? Like, some people set their couches on fire out there on Fraternity Row. Why? Hey, that's your furniture.
Hey, so when your team gets this far, like Tech right now, do they feel like they're going to win it all, or are they just happy with?
No, they think they're going to win it
getting
all.
Getting to the national championship, because this is
they're
a
gonna
celebration.
They're going to be heartbroken if they don't win tonight. They will all be heartbroken.
Yeah, obviously, because look how happy they are to be there, but. It's just weird because you're right. This is a celebration for when you win the whole dang thing, not when you got to it.
Yeah, and maybe Virginia celebrated the same way, but I didn't see any Virginia students flipping cars and jumping. I didn't see any of that. So I cannot. Lubbock is going to be chaos tonight if they win. If they win tonight, Lubbock may shut down for the next 3 weeks because there's going to be so much vandalism.
One thing I did notice watching the Tech game, they showed a lot of Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah.
But right next to him was Travis Kelce, and they never mentioned his name once.
Yeah, because he didn't go to Texas Tech.
But we all know who he is. Like, he's one of the top tight ends of the game right now.
Dude, I saw the dude next to him, and I'm like, man, he looks familiar, and he looks like he plays a sport.
They acted like it was Mahomes' second cousin or something that he just invited to the game. Guys, that's Travis freaking Kelce.
But they said, they kept saying Patrick Mahomes, you know, he's a Texas Tech alumni. That's why they don't tell you who else is there.
Coach, you want
them
to name like everybody in their family when they show somebody in their you don't need to know names for everybody.
I mean, if Tom Brady was there, they would be like, Tom's here. He didn't go to any of these schools, but Tom Brady's here.
Well,
because
he's the major one. But you were a TV guy. The point of that shot was, boom, Texas Tech alum. Get him. Yeah. Well, what about the Kelce guy? He's right next to him. He didn't go to Texas Tech.
Yeah, we don't care. No one cares.
Who got more attention, Kelce or the chick Mahomes was with?
The chick Mahomes went because she went to Tech.
Did she?
Yeah.
Oh, y'all know her?
Yeah.
Oh.
That's his sweetheart from they met in college,
I believe.
Oh,
I didn't know her.
So, yes. But, yes. So, anyway, Lubbock. I want to tell you, if you win tonight.
Guys, listen to Lunchbox.
Have some common sense. I like celebrating. I like going down, having some beers, throwing them everywhere, whatever. But, geez, do not be the idiot that's flipping cars and burning things down.
Control yourself.
Did you see the Auburn guy at the game?
Yeah.
He was so excited because he thought Auburn won. He turned to the camera and was like, yeah, mother blanker. And he poured his beer on himself. And he's like, yeah. Then they end up losing and he gets arrested.
For doing what?
Because he just lost it.
Because he lost it.
Oh, he got arrested for doing something else after that?
Yes.
Okay.
He was so excited. He thought they won because they were up by 6 with like 15 seconds to go. Or 5 with 6, you know, he pours the beer on himself like, yeah! And then they lose and he gets arrested. I mean, it went from really good to really bad for that guy.
I will say this, when a team does go for a run, maybe these students at Texas Tech, they weren't the biggest fans during the year. Well, they are now.
They are
but
now.
I will say this, because I live in Nashville, and when the Preds made their run and went to the Stanley Cup, we ended up losing. When they made that run, there's a buzz that goes through a city when you start to go through a playoff system.
Oh, yeah. I totally get the buzz.
Me too.
I am all
just
about the buzz. It's like when the University of Texas, when they won again, when they beat USC in the national title, I mean, it was crazy. Sixth Street was amazing. There wasn't flipping cars and burning things, though.
Classy.
I don't get that whole thing.
Yeah, I don't get that either.
Yeah, I've never
and
I've never
really
understood.
Expect it from Lubbock, Texas. Like,
well,
I've been there.
That's what I expect from Lubbock, Texas.
I've been there.
Or Morgantown, West Virginia.
Have you guys ever been to Lubbock?
Oh, yes. My gosh, dude. Let me tell you.
I've never been there.
My cousin went to grad school at Texas Tech. So we were on the radio there, and so I had a station appearance in Lubbock when he was in grad school. So we went to the bar, and we had an open tab, okay?
That's legit.
And so I brought his buddies, and I could buy listeners drinks. And on Monday, I get an email from the station manager, and it was like, looks like you really took advantage of that bar tab. We didn't get bottle service. We didn't get $948 we rang up on that tab.
Dang, dude. No wonder you never went back.
Did you have a couple drinks there, dude?
Oh,
hey, did you ever go back?
No, we never.
Okay, exactly.
And here's the funny part. And then you want to hear the greatest part of the whole night? My cousin.
So they thought it was going to be less than that.
Oh, for sure. Because
they thought it was just going to be him.
They thought I'd buy a couple people drinks
maybe
or whatever.
A couple friends. Like, no big deal.
I mean, I bought.
You ever drank $900 worth of alcohol, Ray?
Coach, have you ever been out with a group and you buy shots for everybody? That's $100 at a spot right there.
No, I've never done that.
And in Lubbock, it's not that expensive.
Okay, like, so then that is a lot.
It's a lot of money.
So you people in major cities, I mean, a major
city. Right, if you're in New York or LA or Chicago, that's 5 drinks, maybe.
Okay.
But in a smaller college town where it's like dollar drinks.
That's a crap load.
It's a crap load. So anyway.
They expected homeboy to be at like 100.
One of the best stories.
Like, he won't go over 5.
Yes. One of the best stories ever, though, was that night. So we're just the kings of the town, you know, buying everybody drinks. We got girls everywhere.
Guys everywhere.
And my cousin, who is single, ready to mingle, he's in college, and I'm bringing all these chicks around, and he is at the bar the entire night talking to this dude. And I'm like, Andrew, what are you doing? Okay? No, this gets
even better. Who's the guy?
So then, I'm going to get to this guy. So... And so I'm like,
they got married eventually.
So after the bars closed down, I'm like, dude, you spent all night talking to that dude. He was like, oh, he was cool, man. He's a real nice guy. I'm like, there was chicks everywhere. He goes, oh, but I was in a conversation. So we're going to go to IHOP. And we got a limo and everything. And he goes, hey, Carl, you want to go to IHOP with us? That's my cousin asking this dude.
The dude.
So Carl goes, yeah, hold on 1 second. He runs to his car and gets a bag. And I'm like, oh, he has his computer. He doesn't want to leave it in his car, right? So we go to IHOP and everything. And we're like, all right, I think we're going to head back. We're going to go to bed, go to Andrew's apartment. He goes, all right, I'll just come with you guys. We're going to play some video games. Yeah. So like, okay. So he brings his bag and we play video games for a few hours. And they're like, all right, we're going to go to bed. And Carl goes over to his bag. And so we're thinking he's going to leave, right? He opens his bag and pulls out a sleeping bag and throws a sleeping bag down on the floor.
How does this story end?
Yeah, so,
wait, where did Carl come from? And he had a sleeping bag with him. Like it's like he had planned to go to the bar and find somewhere to spend the night.
And he knew that he was going to spend the night somewhere.
Yes. So the next day.
Tell your boy props. I'm pulling a dude.
Yeah, Andrew, shout out. So then the next day.
Tell me something better happens.
Yes. So we're going to go to the tent.
The peak was the sleeping bag.
He opens a bag, reaches his hand in there, pulls out
a Columbia sleeping bag.
A loaf of bread.
So,
okay, all right.
The next day, we're going to watch Texas Tech take
here
on.
Here we go. He's bringing it full here circle. Here we go. Okay,
going to watch you. Texas
Flipping
Tech.
Cars.
Texas Tech football take on Oklahoma State. Brandon Whedon, Dez Bryant.
And Crabtree.
We're going to watch them dominate, right?
Yeah.
No, Crabtree wasn't there. And so we go, and Carl's like, oh, I need a ride to my car.
Wes
so,
Welker.
So we go back. We're like, hey, Carl, good to see you. Good to see you. And my cousin's buddy drives him to his car, drops him off, and he goes, so should I just follow you back to Andrews? Like, what? Like, what are you doing? No, like.
So he's a friend now.
So he thinks he
is. He's a friend. So he's in the group.
So he comes back.
Oh, my gosh. Tell me you found a gun.
Then we
was there weed
then
in the
we
bag?
Walk to the game, and he walks away. He doesn't even have tickets to the game. And he's like, hey, man, I'll just wait out here for you guys when you're done with the game.
And his name is Forrest, my best friend.
No, his name is Carl.
Oh. So where does this end?
So we just ditched, like after
he
the game,
the car.
I mean, he spent 5 days with you guys now. Where is he now?
We don't know, but every time we get together, we ask Andrew, hey, man, you talked to Carl lately?
Was Carl at the game?
He didn't have tickets,
night?
So he just stayed outside. But that was my trip to Lubbock.
Full circle, Carl was out in the car.
Saturday night. Oh.
Gosh, you guys don't appreciate the Carl story.
I actually really do appreciate it.
I mean,
it.
Where do you carry a sleeping bag with you? And like, is that your MO? Is you go to the bar and find people so you can just stay at their house?
Nut. What about your boy though? What was his? Why didn't
Andrew,
he talk to Carl?
He was a nice guy.
Okay, because I've had friends before. We'll go to a wedding, and this is the first thing I think of, and I'll be like, "Hey, let's get some chicks, man. That's what it's all about. Wedding crashing, baby.
Yeah,
wedding crashing.
Yeah.
My boy will like talk to a married chick the whole time. I'm like, what was the point of us going to that wedding if you were just gonna have conversation? I thought we were trying to get chicks.
It blew my mind, but he was just like, he was a nice guy, dude. I didn't know he was going to want to spend the night.
I did this one time when
You pulled a Carl?
You were Carl? Oh, boy.
I was on a road trip from Austin to Nashville by myself. It was just kind of a like, I just need to get away and kind of
How old are you?
Oh, this is probably like eight, nine years ago.
Okay.
So he's
like 30.
Yeah, and so it just had a lot of stuff going on
you
in my life.
You just drove on your own?
I did. Rented a car and we drove from Austin.
Are you okay?
And you picked Nashville?
Yeah, because I'd never been here.
Okay.
I'd never been to Nashville. Okay. So like it seems like a cool town. It's about, I don't know, 14 hours. Like, it'll be fun little trek. And I get to Little Rock and I'm like, it's really late. Like, I'm just tired. There's a bar right here.
Strip club.
And I go to the bar and I'm like, I'll probably just find a hotel room or whatever and somewhere around here. I meet these two dudes.
Oh my God. Oh my God.
I don't know if we want to hear
And
the
we
end of
just
this.
Start talking. We hit it off. It's like, I'm Carl and that's Andrew and Lunchbox.
You landed two dudes in Little Rock.
And then the guy's like, we get lost in our conversation. We're having such a good time. The bell, you know, the bartender's like,
the
all
bell
right,
rings.
Let's go.
Were there any chicks at the bar?
You don't have to. Yeah,
who cares? Who cares? He's got the two dudes.
Yes, we're having a good conversation.
Oh my God, he's got Lunchbox and Andrew, and this is Carl. The
bartender goes, yeah, you don't have to go home, but you can't stay here. So my buddies that I just met, they're just like, dude, where are you staying? Like, what are you doing? I'm like, I'm probably going to get a hotel down the road. Dude, just come to our house. Like, come to our house and spend the night.
And you said yes?
I'm like, cool, dude. I'll save me some money. I appreciate it. Dude, so just check us out. We go, and I follow them. It's probably about a 25-minute drive from the bar.
Oh, here we go.
Oh,
so I follow
God.
Them.
This is actually becoming a little dangerous. You
I
realize
follow
that, right?
them, right? And then we get to their house. Big house. It's very nice. I'm like, oh, yeah, cool, cool.
They invite you to their house?
So we open the door. He's like, hey, just keep it quiet, man. Our parents live here. It's their parents' house. and you know, like, it was like, whatever. No big deal. YOLO, right? Living life. And we go to their bed.
How old were they? Like 20 and you were like 30?
No, they were about 2 years younger than me. They were like 1 year apart. So it was probably, I was 30, one was 29, the other was 28, something like that. And so
they're living at home.
They're living at home. And so then we like hang out for a little bit in their room, just talk, and then we go to bed.
Did they have posters on their wall and everything?
I mean, it was like a, yeah, like they lived there since high school, you know? Hey, so I wake up in the morning.
So where do you sleep?
I wake up in the morning.
No, where do you sleep?
They had a little couch. They had their beds, and then they had a little couch.
So they shared a room?
Yeah, we were all in the same room.
Oh, my.
All three of us. Hey, then we wake up and their dad's there.
No.
Oh my.
Drinking coffee.
Four dudes.
And all I hear is, who's this guy? I wake up and I'm like, holy shit. Like,
you're the boyfriend.
Oh my gosh. You're the boyfriend.
And I wake
dude,
up.
It's time to get out of Dodge.
I'm like, all right, man. Good to meet you, sir. I got to get going. I got to rush. I got to be in Nashville by noon. Like, got to go. And they're like, you leaving already? Yeah, yeah. You can stay breakfast. Have breakfast with us. Like, no, I'm good.
Coach, I bet you sprinted to your car.
I got out of there as fast as I could. Because it was at night. It was like, no big deal. Whatever. Let's be fine.
We can make fun, Eddie, but that's actually pretty cool. You got a free night stay when you're on the road trip.
No, stop.
I'm still Facebook friends with those guys.
Stop. He slept in there. They shared a room and they had a little couch and dad wakes up, who's this guy?
Hey, I was
Carl. You are Carl. But anyway,
hey sons, good morning. A B, who's the guy?
Oh dad, we picked him up at the bar last night.
It's pretty crazy. Freaking Mexican dude sitting
sleeping there. You guys are all in your whitey tighties.
What did you sleep in?
My clothes.
You slept full clothes.
Oh, full clothes, of course.
I didn't know.
What do you think? Hey, you guys have any PJs? Like,
no. I didn't know if you got down to shorts and you had no shirt on their. I mean, I didn't know how relaxed we
what
got.
What did Carl sleep in?
I don't know. Okay. I mean, he slept in a sleeping bag on the living room floor, and it was the most. I mean, it was the most mind blowing thing ever. And then so we ditched him at the end of the football game. And that night, he was texting us, "Hey, you guys going out tonight? You guys going out?" And we just ignored him. We're like, "If we run into Carl, this is going to be terrible." We haven't ever seen Carl again. Don't know his last name.
All right.
So
can we talk about these games?
Let's get to the games. Where do you want to start?
Oh, are we at the first game?
Let's start with Virginia versus Auburn.
Oh, yeah.
That was the first game.
Yeah, okay, I was like, yeah.
Unbelievable game.
Great finish.
It was a great finish. It was exactly what I thought it was going to be. And then,
did you?
Yeah. I thought Virginia's defense was going to stifle.
And they did.
Auburn. And they did. Except for 1 5-minute stretch.
They got hotter than hell.
I saw a different game. Bryce Brown just started lighting it up. And that's what you always have to worry about Auburn is one, if they get hot, and they did for that last 5 minutes of the game, they were on fire. When they were down 10, all of a sudden everything started going in. And you're like, oh my gosh. And then
they took the lead.
The ending of the game was unbelievable. And nobody. I don't want to hear anybody. We're going to talk about how the 3-point shot was a foul. You cannot. There's no argument.
Yeah, I don't think anyone's arguing that.
No argument whatsoever. That was an absolute foul. It was obvious.
I mean, the replays all different
guys,
angles.
When people shoot a three, stop touching.
Clear as day. And it was kind of ironic how Auburn's tournament ended the same way it started. New Mexico State, time running out, they foul a 3-point shooter. New Mexico State can't make the free throws. Auburn goes all the way to the Final Four. Then in the Final Four, they commit the same foul on a 3-point shot with very little time remaining. But this time, the guy has ice water in his veins, and Kyle Guy goes to the free throw line.
I knew I saw the 80%. I saw the
sinks 80. Two, sinks three, and he sinks Auburn's dreams. Now,
you thought about that one all night.
No, yeah. I didn't. I just thought about that this morning. I didn't have all weekend to prepare.
Honey,
sorry.
Honey, I got to say something good tomorrow.
Sink how one, about? Sink two, sink three, sink dreams.
That really?
Oh, that's a good one, babe.
This rant comes to me as I'm talking. Okay, if you look, I just have Virginia versus Auburn. There's no lines
Virginia
here.
Virginia versus Auburn, yeah, and then
anyway,
sink the dreams.
So, and people are going to say, it should have never happened. The double dribble, it was a missed call. How could they miss that call? Here's the problem. Nobody, and I mean nobody, live was calling it a double dribble. The announcers color commentator, nobody. 5 minutes later,
who saw it?
They brought up the double dribble. I don't know if someone in the truck, someone radio down.
Gene Tessitore probably looked at
something.
No, really, like who saw it? Because you're right, no
nobody.
One.
But I want to give credit where credit. I want to give credit where credit is due. There is one person and one person only I know that, as it was live, said that's a double dribble.
Carl.
And that was my wife.
What?
My wife is watching the, we are watching the game, and he picks it up and he starts dribbling. She goes, he just double dribbled. He double dribbled. And I was like, no, that guy knocked it away from him. She goes, no, double dribble. And then 5 minutes later, when they start talking about the double dribble, I was like,
well, why didn't she tweet something? Say something.
I went, wow, you were right. And she, because no one, Bruce Pearl wasn't going nuts. Nobody was going nuts. So that is how hard it was to see that play. Because it does, like, when you're watching it live, you think the Auburn defender knocks it away from him. No one saw it. So for
after your wife said that, though, were you like, you want to go upstairs for a little bit? Sexy to you that your wife called a double dribble when
no
one
else
in the world?
It was pretty amazing.
Were you like turned on by that?
I was like, dang. I thought she was crazy because I was like, I wouldn't a double dribble.
Oh,
like,
so you argued with her at first.
Right.
Normal fashion.
And then I was like, wow, she was right.
She called it.
But nobody, so all these people like, oh, they missed the double dribble. That's a terrible, that 3-point would have never happened. You're only saying that after the fact. Missed calls happen. And we get mad about the obvious missed calls. That wasn't an obvious missed call when it happened.
Explain to me this. Auburn, why they were fouling? Because they didn't want the dude to shoot a three? What were they?
No, because they had fouls to give.
So they still had fouls to give when he fouled? They were cool with letting him have a corner shot?
No.
Right after the double dribble.
They fouled him because you are trying to stop them from getting into a play.
I get that.
Once the clock stops.
There was 1.5 seconds left.
Right.
Why did he foul him? Let him shoot some three.
I agree with that. I mean, they had a foul to give, but it really did nothing but just...
They were cool with them having a set play in the corner with a second left?
Just setting him up.
He was trying... He fouls... Yes, because you think you can't run a good play in 1.5 seconds. With 1.5 seconds going full steam towards the basket, you can get a lot farther than standing still starting from 1.5 seconds.
But 1.5 with a throw-in right by the basket, to me, sounds like a lot of time. Like... It's a weird call. I saw it and it was just like, I get it. They have a timeout to give or a foul to give. And they're just, I get it. I don't know. It didn't feel right that was done right after the double dribble.
Because that's what they, like at the end of the half, like when people are waiting there, they got one possession left. There's 15 seconds. You have a foul to give. Once they start driving to the hoop with like 4 seconds to go,
yeah, you foul them
because it's harder to run a play from stationary.
Yeah, I get it.
And so that's what they were doing, and that's all it is. And I'm sorry to Auburn fans. It was a tough loss. It's a tough way to lose.
It was a great finish. You guys made a great comeback, 10 points. Like, you shouldn't even have been in the very end of the game. Like,
right.
You know, like Virginia had your number.
But here's the thing.
It was two choke jobs. Virginia choked it away, and then Auburn choked it away.
I didn't see Virginia's defense, like, dominating the game. Like, they did. They kept the game tight, for sure. Limited Auburn. But Auburn just didn't make their threes. That's their game plan.
That's because of the defense.
No, they had wide open shots and wouldn't make it. Like, it wasn't defense.
Eddie, on the year, when teams play Virginia, they shot 27% from three. You can't tell me that's not defense. It's not just every team doesn't make shots. It's called defense.
How is defense a factor when you have an open shot and you just can't sink it? How's that defense? Like, there were times when there was just an open shot. Somebody has a whole second to gather up and shoot it, still miss it.
But they're weaker because they've been running around screens and their defense is just clamping down on them.
Yes.
It just affects everything. Maybe they don't have a hand in the face, coach.
The entire game, first half, second half, I didn't see Virginia dominating. I saw Auburn missing shots. That's what I saw. I don't see Virginia beating Tech now. Like, I don't see Virginia being the dominant team. They're okay. Like, Auburn, I'm going to go with everyone else. Auburn should have won that game. The way they played, the way they came back, stupid fouls, like the guy makes all three free throws. Auburn should have won that game. Now, did they? No. Move on. There's no crybabies. There's no like, wow, I would go back for double dribble. Should have. Like, the way both teams played, Auburn should have won that game.
Now, like, kids, if you're in the backyard, if a guy is shooting a three-pointer, if you can block it, go block it. But, like, the guy at Auburn, dude, if you can't block it, get away from him.
It's like
him.
The Tennessee game. Same
get
thing.
Away from like, him. Like, snap your fingers. Maybe is clapping illegal?
No.
Clap. Yeah. Do something. Don't go get your body right up next to his body, because then he could lean into you a little bit, or you could actually go a little too far and he's going to hit you and it's a foul.
He tried to contest and his momentum carried him into the shooter. That's what happened.
I get that. But these guys are fouling people on 3-point shots, I mean, more than ever before.
Because it's desperation. It's desperation at that moment. Like, you're just like, please, no. They know how he shoots from that corner. No. You know, like, desperation, run towards it, try to put a hand up, do something.
But as a basketball player, you can know if you're going to touch it or not. He wasn't even close to a block, because his body's the one that did it, not even his hand. He didn't even get a hand up.
But that's what I'm saying. He's trying to contest, but his momentum just carried it. You know what I mean? Like, you're trying to get as close as you can without fouling, and he got too close. And like I said, Virginia, 27% when you play him from three on the year. Auburn shot 29% from three.
There you go.
I mean, that's just defense. Now.
It's not.
You're right. So it's just every game they play someone, people just can't hit shots.
Some games you make a lot of your shots. Some games you don't. It's just how it is.
So it's just weird. Every game that teams play Virginia is the games they can't hit threes.
Sure, this season, sure, it could be coincidence. Absolutely. Yes, it's a season.
Duke was number 300
the whole year, had games where they were just making everything. Most of the time, they wouldn't.
Exactly.
That's just how it felt.
But that's what stats are. Do you understand? Stats are what trends are.
Okay.
That's why scouting reports. Like 85% of the time, he likes to go left. So what are you going to do? You're going to try to make him go right. That's what.
But here's what Auburn did. Auburn, when they weren't making their threes, they would adjust and they would drive. Like, they made adjustments and it helped. It worked. But the problem is, this is a team that consistently has made most of their threes. They didn't make crap. Mm-hmm. Saturday, which is why.
So Texas Tech defense. Do you think Texas Tech's defense had anything to do with Michigan State not making any shots?
Michigan State couldn't even control the ball.
Exactly.
They couldn't even hold on to the ball. They'd get the ball stolen all the time. So that's the difference.
So Tech's defense had something to do with them missing shots, but Auburn, it was just Auburn didn't make shots.
Lunchbox, if Michigan State had a bunch of open shots and they missed them all, I would say the same thing about
Texas. They did miss open shots.
No, they wouldn't. They didn't even have a chance to shoot. Different game.
So McQuaid wasn't wide open in the corner to tie the game with three.
That you're talking about one shot? I'm talking about they were 2 for 23 or something in the first half. Virginia was, their shot percentage was ridiculous that first half. I think they made 2 for 20-something. It was ridiculous. Nothing was going in. And that's not defense. It just wasn't going in. And that, I think psychologically, that messes with you. When your shots aren't going in, they mess with
you. Yeah, McQuaid was shooting up some air balls, man. Not a good way to go out,
so
dude.
So then we move on to Michigan State and Texas Tech, because we're not going to convince Eddie that defense has anything to do with missing shots.
We're not here for you to convince me or me to convince you.
Right, that's what I'm saying, but we're not going to convince you, so we're just going to move on. Texas Tech was better defensively. Texas Tech was better offensively, like I thought going into the game. There was no surprise. They were in Michigan State's grill all night long. They made them uncomfortable. They harassed them. They did everything they could. And let me tell you, Owens was a monster.
Owens.
The big guy, the big skinny guy.
With a headband who hit his head twice.
And then broke his ankle.
And then pretty much, tore his
leg
off.
He was so good at he made up, people would be going to the hoop, oh, layup. No, get that out of here. I don't know how many blocks he had, but I feel like he was the defensive end. He was the difference. He was the absolute difference. He was the X factor in that game. And for most of that game, I'm sitting there going, Texas Tech is going to win a national title. Texas Tech is going to win a national title. And we get a text from Eddie. Buzz cut, dude, came to play. And Mooney was electric. On the offense, he carried him.
Dude, he even had a heat check, too, when he shot it like 5 feet behind the three-point arc and made it.
Yes.
He's on fire. You couldn't stop buzz
dude,
cut.
Military buzz cut.
Yeah.
I think he was in the military.
For Navy or something?
Air Force for 1 year. Air then Force. He went to South Dakota State or something. And then he came to Texas Tech as a grad transfer.
Buzz cut,
and
baby.
And Owens is Hoorah! A grad transfer from St. John's.
No, that's Marines.
That's Marines.
Okay.
So anyway, Texas Tech's
aim
defense,
high.
They
aim
were un. They're awesome. They were.
Michigan
awesome.
State had that, 18 points in the first half. Good.
That, well, Texas Tech only had 21.
I know. That's what I'm saying. Michigan State was lucky they're in the game at the half.
Yeah. That, to me, entire game is like, dang, talk about a defense wearing a team out. Like, that's got to be hard on your body. Like, you couldn't even move. Tech was on you the entire time. That's hard to play basketball.
Michigan State's got big guys shooting threes. Yeah, Goings or whatever his name is. He made that game-winning three when they were playing Duke. But, I mean, get out of here. You're not shooting threes. So he's shooting bricks. McQuaid, the guy that just sits in the corner and shoots, he's shooting air balls. He wasn't even touching rims.
Even Cassius,
he was still doing his teardrops.
Winston, but it's hard, man.
Well, Coach, he made a couple
magical
threes.
Magical moves for him to make a basket. Like, it's just nuts.
Oh, it was way too hard to score a point in a, you know, in a game for Michigan State.
And so Texas Tech moves on. Like, I thought they would. I thought they were just the better team.
I made the mistake of comparing them like as the USC fighters, because they did have the size. They just couldn't do anything.
They didn't but the Owens injury to me is what is going to stop Texas Tech from winning tonight.
Wait, so he's not coming back?
Well, look, I don't care. Look, he may come back, but he's not going to be 100%. He could barely, I mean, he was limping and he went back to the locker room and he came running out, but he got back in there for like 3 or 4 minutes and he was hobbled.
Hey, that was like, remember when Ralph Macchio, Karate Kid, Danny LaRusso, like he goes out, he gets hurt, right? And then Miyagi does his, and then he like touches his wound or whatever. And then they're like, what? Danny LaRusso's gonna fight? Like, he's coming out? When Owens came out, is it Owen or Owens?
Owens.
When Owens came out of that locker room, the freaking crowd erupted. He's running out. It was like, yeah, he's back. Like, it's amazing. Dude, I got chills
watching that. That was cool. The crowd was observant and made it really cool.
Yeah, because, I mean, you think stadium. Because
he ran right by the student section, the Texas Tech student section, and they were going bananas.
And then in these stadium setting, you're talking about, like,
Coach, it's a football field.
You're talking about 50 yards running from the locker room to the court.
Coach, like, yeah, it was a long way.
So everyone saw him. Even the upper deck was like, there he is. Like, he's coming. So cool.
But I do not think Texas Tech I can win tonight without Owens, without a healthy Owens. I don't think, like, it probably hurt yesterday. And that night, the adrenaline probably kept him feeling.
His injury hurt?
Yeah. Oh, I thought when he went down, I thought there was going to be bone poking out.
I saw more of like a torn ligament.
Something.
Like,
you know it what I mean? So because like disgusting.
At that momentum and that speed or whatever, and then the power of his.
Did you watch
body,
the replay?
Yeah.
And how did you react?
Ooh.
I said, oh, out loud. I said, oh.
Yeah.
And my wife was like, why did I watch that? Why did I watch that? So for on Sunday, probably hurt. He got treatment. I bet you it hurts even worse today.
Yeah. Mm.
They may shoot him up, but I don't think.
They make some great drugs out there.
I don't think he can be as effective with a big old ankle. And for that reason alone, with him, I think they win the national title. But I think Virginia finds a way to win the game.
So clarify, though. With him drugged up, numbed up,
no,
he's not anti-inflammatory.
Not the same.
So you're just saying Virginia wins.
Yes. Okay. I had Texas Tech, beginning of last week when we talked about it, after the Final Four was announced, I said Texas Tech was going to win against Virginia. All throughout that game, I was like, Texas Tech's going on to win a national title. And then Owens goes down, and I said, they can't win without him. They can't win with a hobbled Owens because he allows them to get their defensive pressure up on the guards. And if someone blows by him, they're okay because they have him there to block shots. And if he is 75% or 80% or 50%, I don't think they can win.
And Culver, man.
Culver
NBA,
was
NBA prospect had 1 point going late into the fourth.
And guess what he did?
Half. He ended up coming.
He said, "Onions in your face. Mm-hmm. I want the ball. I'm having a rough game, but I'm going to show you. I'm not scared of the big moment." And he drained.
He was silent for a while, though, man.
That's okay. He was playing defense.
I think Virginia rolls. It's only a 2-point spread, 1.5, which is shocking. I almost would think it would be more towards a 4 or 5. I think Virginia is a heavy favorite tonight.
Oh, I think you're way wrong.
And I bet the line's moved.
No,
just because if there is the injury announcement.
Well, there is no. They're not going to say anything.
They can keep it quiet.
Because he's going to try to play. It's the national title. He's going to try to play. But how?
He tried to play last night. Why wouldn't or Saturday? Why wouldn't they?
Like, poor dude, he got drilled in the face. He hit his head on a monitor.
He had a rough game.
I just don't know how effective you can be on a broken ankle. And that's what I saw. When I saw him go down, it was a broken ankle.
Man, when you drill your own teammate in the face, it's like, oh, luck's not with me tonight. I mean, they were going full speed, head to head, boom, drill. I mean, that's almost concussions.
Yes.
Low two over.
What do you think, Eddie? What do you think?
Well, I mean, I'm with you. I'm with you on the Owens thing. But, I mean, I don't know. The last game felt like it was, like, when Owens went out, it was that momentum already going into the game with Tech leading and Tech on top that they were okay to cover him while he was gone.
Well, that's when Michigan State got it down to like 3 points.
Right.
Is when Owens was out. When once he left injured.
Right.
They started pounding it inside. They didn't have to worry about a shot blocker, and they got right back in the game.
Yes.
Now, Texas Tech held them off and won the game, yes. But you saw that without Owens, that defense isn't the same.
And we also saw that Italian guy, he went pretty quiet. Doesn't really do a lot. I said I don't like him as a three-point shooter. I love Mooney.
He had one bad game. Mooney had one good game.
I haven't heard of Buzzcut.
I just said, watch out for Mooney. He was better, and I didn't like the Italian guy.
Guess what? Tonight, Mooney won't have as good a game as he did the other night.
Correct.
Culver could have a better game, and the Italian guy could have a better. Will have a better game.
Will Virginia adjust their defense to Buzzcut?
No. They'll run the same.
Just run whatever.
They'll run
what
they've been doing.
I feel like, I mean, Virginia does have a lot of different ways of beating you. I just feel like they can't do anything. As long as Tech can keep up with this tight, tight defense and stop them the way they stop Michigan State, I mean, Tech's your winner. I'm with Lunchbox with the Owens thing. It's going to be tough, but I think it's going to be really close and Tech will come out on top.
What I do like is Texas Tech's bench. They have more scorers off their bench. They get productivity from a lot more players.
Yeah.
Virginia is really the starting five, maybe one guy on the bench. Texas Tech can go 8-9 deep.
They got
Francis coming off the bench. They got a couple other freshmen that can kind of score and shoot the ball. So I do like that, but I just think I'm just going with Virginia because of the Owens injury.
And I think it's also the universe saying, Virginia, hey, you lost to a 16 seed. That was the worst thing ever in the history of March Madness. We're going to make good. Here you go. Here's the national championship.
Sometimes destiny is destiny.
I mean, that's the unit. That's March Madness gods right now. They're going to give it to Virginia.
Destiny sometimes just plays a factor. They were dead in the water at the very end against Purdue, and the guy throws a one-handed mid-half-court pass, and he just kind of tosses up, and it goes in. They win in overtime. They were dead in the water against Auburn, and they win with a three and then three free throws. I mean, they were down five with 17 seconds to go. Sometimes destiny is on your side.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what it is. And tonight,
do we see a blowout?
No.
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 No. No. No. No. No.
No.
No.
No.
And
no.
Take the under.
No. Now that I disagree with.
I disagree with that under. Are you drunk?
My gosh. The game on Saturday, I won on the under because they went into the game thinking that they would be over 134.
For who?
Guys. The game.
Virginia? Well, which game?
No, two for games. Tech.
Okay.
Oh, Tech for Michigan Tech. State, and that was low, yeah.
But here's the thing.
No, 130-something was way too high because it ended
up
being
the game ended up being low.
Yeah.
I mean, at halftime, they were at 40.
With Tech's defense, you can't. Like, they would go a whole 3 minutes without scoring.
Yeah,
like,
but Tech changes it up. Once they start getting behind, that defense doesn't lock down as much. Then you got to go fast. Then Mooney's shooting threes 5 feet beyond the arc. I see him go. The over-under, I see it being an over, and I see it being Virginia.
And here we go. Scandal. But let's talk about scandal in a minute. But tonight, one shining moment is the culmination of college basketball. So if you will please, you're going to watch the game, you have to stick around after because it gives me chill bumps every single year to watch one shining moment. It is the culmination, the crescendo, the say goodbye to
crescendo.
Whatever. Say goodbye to college basketball for the year. And so one shining moment, and the 1 year they tried to switch it to stupid Jennifer Hudson was the worst decision they ever made.
Was that recent?
Yes, and they went back to Luther Vandross, and they'll never go anywhere else because his voice is one shining moment. Enjoy it tonight and watch a great game.
Let him say his thing. And okay. Will Zion Williamson make one shining moment?
Yeah, you think?
Yeah,
and Zion Williamson? Oh, seems like maybe he was bribed to go to Duke.
We've heard that before.
That's crazy. And now that Duke is a
bribe with what though? Like a steak?
I don't know, money?
Money.
Bribe with like a t-shirt?
Oh, let's
a nice
say,
dorm room.
Maybe shoes that don't blow out.
Remember how we talked co-ed about
dorms.
that lawyer
Chicks?
That came out and was accusing Nike and then they said he was charged with blackmail because he was trying to ask for $20 million?
Mm-hmm.
He says, "Hey, at Duke men's basketball, ask this denial after the denial about Coach K, can you please ask Zion Williamson's mother, Sharonda Sampson, whether she was paid by Nike for bogus, quote, consulting fees in 2016 and 17 as part of a bribe to get Zion to Duke from Nike.
Mm.
Oh! So now that Duke is eliminated...
He's getting off campus.
...from the NCAA tournament...
He's not worried about this.
Now Duke is going to do their they're going to do an internal investigation.
There you
Before,
go.
Before...
No, they had a tournament to play.
Exactly.
They had a win.
And you don't want to have to sit Zion out.
Right. All their investigators had good seats at the games.
So... They
said they got bribed with good seats.
And Nike, of course, comes out and says, "We are not going to comment on an individual facing federal charges of fraud. We don't have any comment." Really? Because when you do something, when you get accused of something and you didn't do it, what is the first thing you say?
I didn't do it. No, those are the guys that did do it.
No, what if you didn't do it? What if you didn't do something and they came at you?
Yeah.
What is the first thing you're going to say?
What are you talking about? I didn't do it.
Exactly. Not, we're not going to comment because he's being charged under a federal indictment.
Oh.
What?
But then the running joke in prison is everyone's like, "I'm innocent. I didn't do it."
But what I'm saying is, if you didn't do it, Nike should come out and say, "Hey, we did not do it. We adamantly deny it. We will fight this in court. We are innocent. No, we're not going to comment." Because
let me tell you the difference, though, between Nike and a person. Like, if Ray, did something wrong... and we didn't know about it, and they said, "Lunchbox and Eddie, this is about Ray. Like, what do you know about?" We'd be like, hold up. Let us get our details right on everything. We don't know what you're talking about, so no comment right now. We can't just be like, "Ray didn't do it." Did you, Ray?
But you know Nike, what I mean? But Nike knows what's going on. They know what they pay. They know everything.
They do? The corporation knows what certain people in the company do?
Yes.
Always? I don't know about that. I don't know. People do things without control.
Yeah, we
all
would
the time.
Never know if bribes were going on here.
And we wouldn't know if anyone in the building did something. I couldn't tell you.
Guys, you're being the naive person trying to act like Nike's innocent.
Well, I'm just saying. I'm just saying on the response. Like, hold off. We don't know anything yet.
Dude, Nike needs to do the investigation.
You got to investigate 100%.
They need to investigate that blown out Nike shoe.
Before this, maybe that was karma, Lunchbox. Maybe the shoe blowout, Zion's shoe blowout from Nike, was karma because of this.
The documents he has, he said, evidence of they have $170,000 in cash delivered to people surrounded by DeAndre Ayton, who went to Arizona, mm-hmm. Bull, who went to Oregon, Manute Bull's son.
Oh,
and Brandon McCoy, who went to UNLV, and now Zion Williamson. His mom was a, quote, consultant for Nike. Oh, now we're going to talk about some people getting in trouble. Everybody wanted to blame the Adidas schools, Kansas, Louisville, all them. And
now here come the Nike schools,
now
baby.
Here come the Nike schools, yeah, North Zion's Carolina, Duke.
That's a lot of schools.
Hey, Zion's dorm, they found a spelling test, some math, and then a document that said he accepted $100,000 with a check.
So the point is, basically, whatever shoe brand you're talking about, they all do it.
They all do it.
Yeah, if somebody's wearing a shoe, look into that company.
Has New Balance been charged with anything?
What about Skechers?
I don't think they have any contracts with any college teams.
Louis Vuitton?
Don't think they have any contracts. But this is a big deal because Duke tries to act like they're the high and mighty and they don't do anything wrong. And I've been telling you guys, there was reports that Zion Williamson won $100,000 from certain schools, and then he ends up at Duke for free. That just doesn't make sense. Mm-hmm. And this guy says he has documentation of them paying Zion's mother for consulting fees.
That's interesting.
This is huge.
Oh, that's
guys.
Huge, yeah.
And, hey. And he names the Nike executive. He says Carlton DeBose has bribed over 100 high school players over the last 4 years to play college basketball at colleges affiliated with Nike.
Wow.
Dude, Payless needs to come out and be like, "Hey, you hear all this bad stuff with Nike, Adidas?" Payless needs to be like, "Hey, you can trust us, baby."
Yeah,
Payless
Bogo.
Doesn't make shoes. They sell shoes.
Oh.
They're just like a Foot Locker.
Hey, Payless needs to tweet like, "Hey, you don't see us in these government investigations. Mm-hmm. Hey, sales 20% off. Come see us, baby."
Steve Madden in any trouble? They do anything?
No, they don't have. They're not college basketball.
Oh.
Dude, what about Ariat Boots? You don't see them
as
any trouble.
Justin Ropers?
They don't do college basketball. You guys are acting like this is no big deal.
No, it's a big deal.
This is
big
huge.
Deal. It's huge, but he's at a school. Coach, it'd be huge if it stopped him from playing
basketball.
No,
it's not about Zion.
It's not about Zion.
It's about other guys.
He wants to take down Duke.
I know he does.
No, I don't
want to
take
him
out.
Yes, you do.
No, this is what I'm saying.
Since Kansas has already been shining the dark light, now you're like, "Hey, I gotta take that light off of Jayhawks, put it on the Devils.
I gotta check and see if Michigan State wears Nike.
I just want you to see.
They do.
Want people to realize that it's
everyone does it.
It's a scandal in college basketball. The whole thing is corrupt.
Right. So stop watching it.
No,
don't watch tonight.
No,
is that what you're saying?
No, what I'm saying is everybody
guys,
gets
don't
all...
support this crap. Turn
guys,
off the game. Tonight.
What are they wearing tonight? What's Virginia wearing?
Nike.
Oh, my God. And what's Tech wearing?
Under Armour.
Oh, guy, boycott.
First school to wear Under Armour to reach a national championship game.
Oh, my gosh. Well, there was a bet on that. And I think Under Armour was the 40-1 or something. On,
really?
On the national championship will wear what jersey?
The winner or the player?
The winner.
Wow.
Wow. Well, yeah, because I don't think very many schools wear Under Armour.
You're right.
And here's a story about Chris Beard that I read that a few years ago, he was coaching in the ABA. Don't even know what the crap that is. Some minor
basketball?
League basketball.
Yeah.
Yes.
I bet on that sometimes.
And really?
It's overseas.
Yeah. It's overseas, and you can bet it at like 7 in the morning.
When I think it's in the Philippines.
Actually, it was here in the United States, guys.
Oh.
I'm thinking of something else. Then.
Really, on Bovada, they have the ABA.
I'm thinking of the Czechoslovakia League.
8 years ago, he was the ABA coach coaching in South Carolina Warriors. He made $11,000 for the season. But ended up losing money because he paid his players $10 for every charge he took. He ended up netting negative $6,000 for the year.
Every charge?
Yeah. When they take a charge, you know, when you stand there in a game?
Mm-hmm.
He ended up losing $6,000 as a coach for the ABA South Carolina Warriors. And now he's playing in the national. He's coaching in the national championship.
Wow.
And if you're Texas Tech.
Take a charge. He'll give you 10.
After this game tonight, you have to rip up his contract and say you have a lifetime contract as long as you want to stay and give him a raise, $100,000 every year.
Lifetime contract again. This is where you have the old man sitting on the bench.
Yeah, he ain't staying in Tech.
Because he's going to have all these schools are going to
come
up for him.
He's gone. Hey, are we going to talk about, is it the Rockets bench that cleared out before the game was over?
No, I didn't pay. I didn't see anything.
So they're playing the Knicks, right? And they have like they're up by like 20, and I think there's 2 minutes left in the game, and everyone just splits off in the locker room and leaves one dude there, like with 2 minutes left in the game. Everyone's like, "How disrespectful of the Rockets!"
It's the last couple games of the NBA. Just let them do it.
Yeah,
but that is kind of rude, though, right? Like, all right, guys, let's get out. It's like that commercial. The dude, like, I got a dinner reservation at Botticelli's tonight, like. It's like they just split.
That's funny. Yeah.
Poor Knicks, man. They're all trying to freaking play a game.
They'll be fine, though. They're going to have Durantula next year.
They'll have Zion.
And Durantula.
Yeah.
And Kyrie, maybe.
Yeah.
So Knicks will be good next year.
They'll be good.
Yeah, but that's it. National championship game tonight. I was more excited about the Nike whole thing, about the scandal. I've been trying to tell you guys that.
Don't watch.
Everybody keeps tweeting, Kansas, they're a bunch of cheaters.
See, this is
blah, blah, blah.
This is what it comes down to.
All these schools are cheaters.
It.
No.
This is what it comes down to.
Look at Duke. They do it the clean way. That's what people say. Like, Duke doesn't have to do it.
No, they're all dirty.
They're all dirty. They're doing it.
Kansas, too. Dirty is, yeah.
Probably.
No, I know. I'm telling you.
They're probably all, dirty.
All of them.
Except
Sam Houston State.
Yeah, you know who's not dirty? The crappy schools.
Sam Houston State.
No, the crappy schools are dirty.
No, they don't wear those.
My uncle went to Wichita State when they had football, and his best friend was on the football team. This is Wichita State football. And after the game, he would find $100 bills in his shoes for playing a good game.
Your dad? Your uncle?
My uncle's best friend.
Oh.
Like, it's everywhere.
It's dirty, man.
But come at me. Yeah. All of a sudden, Duke's going to get in trouble, and guess what's going to happen? Nothing.
Well, yeah, it's after the season.
But you played
it. That's actually well played, you know?
Oh, they're smart, dude.
This is what happens. But this is what happens. This is the future. Because the NCAA thinks they're gods, and they make them take away victories, and then they also can they penalize the school when the student's already gone, which is not right.
That's not right.
But so 2 years from now, Kansas and Duke could be on postseason banned, so they couldn't play in the NCAA tournament because of what happened this year.
When that ban happens for Duke, Zion will be at a penthouse in New York
exactly.
Playing along Durantula.
But they won't do that because when the Blue Bloods are in trouble, when Duke and North Carolina and everybody starts getting in trouble, they're going to be like, you know what? It looks like everybody was doing it. We're going to have to figure out new rules. But these other schools, Louisville and Kansas, we're going to bring the hammer down. But now that Duke did it, uh-oh.
Well, no. Now that Duke and North Carolina did it, everything's like going to be...
North Carolina's not... mentioned here. Just
well, they're a Nike team, so I just put them in there anyway.
Yeah, Zion didn't want to be wearing those crappy-ass Nikes.
But look, now that they're mentioned, it's a scapegoat. Everyone does it, so it's all good. Like, the timing is perfect. Because when everyone else does it, it's like, ooh, not everyone. There are clean schools out there. You're the bad dude. You take bribes. It's not good. But now that Duke did it, well, everyone does it. It's all good. I mean, the timing's great.
I'm interested to see what happens, but I'm starting to believe this Michael guy. Everybody thought he was crazy just going on Twitter and
Jordan
ranting.
Spieth's caddy?
No. Going on Twitter and ranting and saying he's got all these
Michael
documents.
Michael Avanti.
Avanti, there you go.
All right.
And it's going to change the world.
Hey, speaking of, guys, you got to start thinking Masters now, too. I know it's like we got a couple of days, but like Masters bets right now are huge. The field is open. If you start betting, take $10, put a dollar on your top 10 players or whatever, and if they win it, I mean, you're talking, if Phil Mickelson wins, you can win $40. It's 40 to 1 right now. Like, it's wide open,
but
right?
But if you put it on Jordan Spieth, what is he? Probably 10 to 1?
10 to 1.
Get your
which
money back,
10?
So don't even bother.
You wouldn't want to gamble on $10 getting your money back if Jordan Spieth wins it? Absolutely. This is a fun time, boys and girls. I love the Masters, and I'm excited about it.
All right, let's get out of here.
Okay, goodbye.
Enjoy the game.
Enjoy the game, but if you want, I don't blame you if you want to boycott it.
Yeah, I'll be turning it off.
You guys are idiots.